that's really me. Because the photographer said, okay, loosen the fuck up. Will you do something that you really feel like right now? And I was like, ah! And he took the shot. Oh, he's like, that's crazy.
That reminds me of Rachel on her wedding day.
Like flipping off the camera. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes everything sexy again. I'm Rachel Pitts, mom, realtor, and creator of The Closing Curve.
And I'm Gina Tremarco, founder and sales trainer at Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv. And hey, Rach, what's up?
Hey, hey, hey. I am so excited about our Warners hearing this episode with Heather today. But I have to say, I'm disappointed that we didn't have more time and that we didn't get to like pretty much all the subjects that we were going to talk about with her. Like, she's so fascinating. And I think we could have a 3-hour show with her because she just, there's all these things that I had planned to talk about and we went in a totally different direction. Shocker.
Well, you know, what's funny is that she's like another version of us.
In this episode, I'm like the least talkative because you guys are both so wide open. I just kind of had to sit back for a while because I was like, oh, Lord, there's so much energy in this threesome. I just got to back off for a minute.
Oh, I would watch you. And then I was starting to watch you on video. I'm like, okay, Rachel sat back. Okay, she's going to push out. Then I would sit back so you knew that you could go forward. And Heather has got this energy. Wind her up, let her go, which reminds me of us. So, Warners, I think you're really going to love this episode because it takes you on a ride. And there are nuggets of great information in there that I think you're going to take away. But it is a ride. So buckle up. So a little bit about Heather Ann Havenwood. She is the founder of Like a Boss Influencer Growth Formula. She's a top Amazon bookseller from her book, Sexy Boss, nationally syndicated radio host on of the show Like a Boss Insights and Influencers. She was named, we didn't even get a chance to talk about this. She was named by Huffington Post as top female entrepreneur to watch, founder of Female Business Association, and is known as Chief Sexy Boss. You can see why we are so attracted to her. She helps brands, businesses, and influencers on best strategies dominate their industry by being omnipresent online through strategic content marketing and high-ticket sales strategies to close the right clients anytime they want. She is regarded as a top authority on podcast marketing, influencer messaging, high-ticket sales closing, and leveraging on LinkedIn. And we only scratched the surface with her. So, gosh, I want more time with her.
Yeah, frankly, I don't think we talked about any of that stuff, really. We did talk about influence, being an influencer, a little bit of that. But it's totally worth the listen. She's totally worth checking out. She is fascinating. And before we jump into that interview, what are some things we need to tell them about?
I think we should remind them that they can still check out Warner World, and they can go to warnerworld.com to do that, which gives them an opportunity to spend more time with us and learn from us, and also leave us a review. That would be cool. Warners, if you haven't given us a review yet, please go to our show on iTunes. You can rate us as high as 5 stars and leave your comments. We'll read your review on an upcoming episode and give you a shout out. You can also access our iTunes page from our website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
So much going on. But you guys will just love this episode, so we can't wait for you to check it out.
Let's just get started and welcome this amazing blonde bombshell from Texas, Heather, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. There's only three. Look, I was born and raised in Texas. Okay. Born and raised. So there's only three things my mama wanted for me. Born and raised. She was a debutante mother, just so you're clear. Blonde, bombshell, right? There's only three things she wanted. She wanted me to marry a very rich doctor. She wanted me to have lots of babies and always look good when I leave the house. One out of three ain't bad. Okay? 23.
What are your baby's names?
I don't have any kids.
No, I'm kidding.
She looks hot all the time.
That's right.
That's the only thing I got. You know what I'm saying? I got no doctor husband and I got no kids. I got my blonde bombshells. That's all I got.
Yet.
But it's good.
You never know. A doctor may come sweep you off your feet one day and you just can't resist. Who knows?
Highly possible.
I mean, he's got to be all that, though. Right. You know, it can't be just a doctor.
Not just
all
doctor.
That and a bag of chips.
If you had your ideal doctor man, what would that be? What would that look like?
Oh, I honestly,
for any of the doctors listening, because we do have a doctor coming on as a sponsor. Not that he's available, but just in case.
I don't have the whole. That was my mom. The whole doctor thing. I don't know. My ex was actually a chiropractor doctor. And he was a total douche and narcissist. So I think doctors have that narcissist, like everyone comes to me for the answer. And that's not good in a relationship. Yeah. So I'd say my mom wanted it for me, but I didn't want it.
Yeah.
It's also a little bit antiquated of like, you should marry the doctor or the lawyer because they make the most money and they'll take care of you.
They'll take care of you.
Yeah. My grandfather was a doctor. My other grandfather was a lawyer. So it's like that kind of, I grew up basically in a very social construct of your job was to reproduce. That was it. Like that was the social construct. I wasn't supposed to be an entrepreneur. In fact, true story, this is about 10 plus years ago when I started my entrepreneurial journey, I got this phone call from my uncle, which is my mom's brother. And it's one of those moments like the uncle never calls you. So you're like, someone died or someone's in the hospital, right? He's like, oh my God, what's wrong? And it's not Christmas. So I'm like, what? Why are you calling me? And he's like, oh, I just talked to your mother. She okay? Yeah, no, she's fine. And like, I understand. And by the way, my whole family's got a very Southern accent. I'm the only one that doesn't have a Southern accent. I can tell you the story in a minute, but everyone's got this like Southern accent. Like my mom's from Texas and Arkansas, Oklahoma. So they talk like that. So I'm the only one in the family that doesn't have the Southern twang, but I can turn on when I need to. So he calls me and he says, Ma, just talk to your mom. And she said that you started a business. I can't do it very well anymore. And I go, well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I started buying and selling houses in Florida back in like 2002. And I said, what's the problem? You know? And he's like, well, honey, you're a woman. You don't run a business. You just need to stop that. And I'm like, but aren't you, he's a multimillionaire real estate. I do have like a rich uncle that does exist on the planet, but like, I don't talk to him. So I was like, but you're a real estate investor. And like, honey, I'm cause I'm a man. Okay. So this was 2002. So you get the, seriously, my mom called me. She's all upset. She's like, well, honey, I found you a job in Hope, Arkansas as a secretary for $8 an hour. And it has benefits and everything. I mean, okay, and I'm literally in Orlando, Florida, traveling the country with like multimillionaires and like speakers and like meeting Robert Kiyosaki and shit. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, honey, I'm just so afraid what you knew. Like, so my point of that is like, I was very born to breed, and that was it. So me on this trajectory of entrepreneurship, my entire family thinks I'm a black sheep.
When's she gonna have a baby? Is she gay?
I'm surprised my mom didn't ask that. She passed away, God forbid. But she's just like, honey, are you gay? I mean, no, I do like dick. But I mean, I never had the like thing going on. I just didn't, and that's okay. If I had a kid, it's fine. But I think the women, like you're not supposed to be an entrepreneur because you're a woman. It's crazy. Like it's super freaking cray cray, but you know,
well, you're clearly a woman your mother warns other people about.
Seriously, my mom over years, she finally got it. And she just like, I want you to be happy, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, especially out of my friends and like, you know, like people you grew up with, like the whole like people on your street or something. Yeah, all of them married, kids, have a job. There is no entrepreneurs at all. Married kids, by the way, has nothing to do with not being an entrepreneur, by the way. But like, right. There's just a trajectory that they went down, right? Like married kids, job, you know?
Right.
Like that's the trajectory they went on. So, I mean, I love to be married and have kids, but I would be in like the one who'd be like between Bali and, you know, living in Bali and Austin, you know, like doing like, we live and travel with the lifestyle. You know? So that would be more me, right? So it would be very different. I'm like dating a guy who's like a yogi, like or a shaman or something weird. You know what I mean? Like my mom's like, where's the doctor? He's a shaman. Ma, he's a shaman. You know?
Is that a doctor? Is the shaman a doctor?
Smoke some good weed. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, at the same time, I think that one of my reasons I talk about this is that we are influenced by how we grow up. you know, and my construct of how I grew up was very like, your job is to be a good girl, get good grades, go to college, find a man. Period. That was it. Like, that was, you know, and my mom was like, oh, you got into Baylor, which is Southern, you know, here in Texas. Uh-huh. Oh, I hated Baylor, but, I don't forget when my
first, lots of doctors at Baylor.
Right,
though.
A lot of doctors. So first semester Baylor, first, this is a true story. I'm sitting there in a little Bible study because you're forced to Bible study when you're there. And we're going around the table, like, what's your degree or, you know, whatever you're here for. And they're like, well, I'm just two of them. Like, I'm just here for my MRS degree.
Yes. I've heard that. I heard that when I was in school.
I didn't know what the hell that was.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Your Mrs.
MRS.
Getting your
MRS degree. That's the first time I've ever heard that. Thank God.
And I wanted to say, I didn't have the balls at the point because I just wasn't there yet in my life. But I want to say, I'm sorry, you spent this is back in the 90s, $378 a semester hour to find a man? What the fuck? You know, but that's what they were trained to do.
But it's true. I went to school. There was a girl that she and I shared an internship with the ABC affiliate in Chicago. And we were both finishing, like, we were both graduating. And I'm like, what do you, you know, she was going to maybe get a job at the station. And she's like, I'm going to go back for my MRS because I still haven't met anybody. I'm going back for my master's because I haven't met anybody. Her whole, that was the goal. The goal was to find the husband in college. And,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
When that's just the goal of life and that's it, I don't know, that doesn't work. When you're creating your life and you're on purpose and you find a partner, that's what I, and that's where I'm at, you know? And I think that, I mean, I'm engaged 3 times, so yes, you know, don't listen to me, right? But like, but at the same time, I think it took me 10 years to allow myself to say, I'm not on the trajectory and it's okay. But it took me a long, long time to be okay with that choice. Cause there was always a part of me like, oh, I made a mistake. I should have just married someone. You know what I mean?
Oh, I've had those moments.
Right in your head. And so it takes time to just, it's okay. I'm on a different path. It's okay that no one in my family is this way. It's okay that people around me, not now, but back then, don't get it. Like, it's okay, you know, but it takes time to kind of break that pattern in your brain. You know what I mean? And it's taken a while. But talking about the old white guy, which we were talking about, an old white guy in the green room, to this day, by the way, this is my little superwoman. So to this day, about 2 months ago, no, that's not true. It was like 2 weeks ago, I'm on a plane in Vegas, and this has happened so many times, but the fact that it's happening in 2019, again, it's like, what the F, right? So I'm on this plane, we're chatting with this guy next to me, because, you know, whatever, and we're chatting, we're on like a 3-hour flight from Denver to Vegas. He's a real nice guy, Jewish white guy, and whatever. So he's like, you're so nice and personable, and you're pretty and you're smart. Why aren't you married? What does that have to do with anything? You know? And I've had this so many times. In fact, when I was traveling years ago and I was going through a massive bankruptcy, and I was, again, random guy on a plane, just, I don't know, sharing my life, whatever. Yeah, I have a business and it went failed and whatever, here it is, whatever. And he's, well, honey, he just taps me on the little knee and goes, honey, it's okay. You're pretty. You're just getting married. Like, that's an out. You know, and I think that's challenged. That's what that it's an undercurrent of the social dynamic that I think women are up against.
Interesting, Rachel, because I said, we don't really know where the theme of this show will go. I'm like, let's just see what happens. We kind of had it. No. It's like, I'm like, let's just let her talk and see what we come up with.
Well, we just came up with about 10 topics. That was good for sure. Well, and I definitely agree. I mean, the fact that it was so hard for you, Heather, to break out of that whole expectation of your family is because family's so freaking hard. I mean, I'm very similar to you in that I'm the black sheep of the family. Like, I didn't even go to college. I just went out and started my career that I started at age 5, and I'm like, I'm going to be a dancer. And that's exactly what I did. Like, I followed that path. I threw 2 college scholarships behind me as I went and joined a dance company and did my thing. And everybody was like, what? But then it developed this whole, like, she's kind of too dumb for a real job thing that my family has now. Of like, she's a dancer. Isn't she cute? She can't possibly know about business. And so it's taken a while to just not care. And just like, I just play that part with my family because I've just realized they aren't going to think differently. So I'm like, yep, I'm just dumb. That's where I'm at. Thanks a lot. And I just move on with my life.
I feel a new show coming on called the three Black Sheep.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, I am still the black sheep. I did go to college, but against my father's will. He was like literally saying to me, why do you want to go to college? You're just going to get married and have children. What? And I said, what if my husband's a loser and I can't feed the kids? And he said, all right, that's a good point. Okay. You can go to college, but I don't have the money to pay for it. And at that time, we were actually the first, he went with me to look at a school, and it was a secretarial school. So the plan was for me to go to secretarial.
It kills me the social construct, right? It's frustrating, right? So I'll share a quick story if you don't mind. About something that I went to comedy school like last year. Did you know this?
I can't wait to talk about this.
Oh, you want to share it? I think I shared on that Sean show, probably.
Well, you know that Gina's background and, you know, current side.
You know,
gig
I own an improv comedy theater.
No freaking way. I didn't do any good stalking of you. I'm sorry.
Well, we're two against one. We both stalked you, and I just had a conversation. But tell us about it, because
oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
Okay, all right.
Tell the story.
Here's how it went. So my mom died on my birthday, actually, June 2013. It's okay.
Sorry.
So it was very sudden. It was like kind of this random, like, mom died. Like, what? You know, she wasn't really in the hospital. And it kind of threw me. And so my business coach at the time was like, you need to do something really wacky, just on the side, you know, have some fun, do something really weird. And I lived down the street from Zach Theater in Austin, Texas, and they had this improv 101. And I took it, I'll be honest, the first whatever, you know, 101, I hated it. And it's probably because I was just resisting and it was making me like talk, and I was really upset about my mom. So, but screw it, I went to 102 and went back to 102 because then you had that little group of friends that all had one, you know. So I'm like, okay, 102. And the next thing is,
it's a cult, right. It's a cult. We form it that way.
Yeah, so it's like 101 and then 102 and 103, 104. Now I'm in 106 and they graduate me, and the girl who owns it, she's like, Heather, bought, like, there's nothing left. You did it all. I'm like, but I love it. Right. So I really opened up, and that was a full year of doing improv right before I started my podcast, which I had no idea was like improv, as you know, right? It's the backbone of comedy. And it opened my whole world to improv and comedy. And so the girl owned it. She goes, you really should consider stand-up comedy. And I'm like, oh, hell no. Like, it's improv I liked because you get feed, right?
Yeah.
But comedy, shit, that's like, you know, hi. And then all you guys are sitting there with a cocktail going, all right, make me laugh, bitch. Like, that's a whole another level.
Sounds horrifying and terrifying. Right? Kudos to you for doing it. No.
Like,
I've taken the comedy class just to push my, that sucked.
Yeah, so improv to me was like, if they laugh, that was like a bonus. Or if I'm speaking and doing presentation skills, if they laugh, like a bonus, but not like, you know, light camera, here's a microphone. Okay, make me laugh, dude. Let's go. Yeah, that's pressure. So I didn't do the course. I actually went online for a wait list. Austin's really big for comedy, which I didn't know.
Yes,
and it's huge. Like, I had 3-year waiting list. So I get this random call one day, like 5 o'clock on a Friday, from this dude. He's like, hey, this is Heather. Like, we have one opening starts Monday at 7 o'clock. I'm like, in 4 days? Like, yeah. I'm like, okay, done. So I started it. And this is a true story, and I'll share a little more because you know the world, right? And so, and I'm going to give you the context. It's like a 12-week course. I walk in, and you talk about I look different. I walk in like vivacious, vavoom, and everyone in there is like kind of a theater, you know? And I'm like, I do not belong here. One of those moments like, Heather, who does not belong in the room, right? So I'm like, and people are like, why are you here? And the very first moment, the instructor, who I didn't like at all, who says, some of y'all are here. She had a really low energy. Some of y'all are here today because someone told you were funny. And I raised my hand. I'm like, I'm actually here because I'm not funny. And it's your job to teach me how to be funny. And everyone laughed. And I'm like, okay, that wasn't a joke. That's serious. So it was in that moment.
Like, we call that contrast,
right,
in comedy,
right.
What so you just did.
I did basically 12 weeks and I couldn't stand the teacher, but luckily there was a guy who came in and did like a sub. And I just fell in love with him. He was really, really good and great instructor. So I hired him $50 for an hour for coaching. And you probably know this for sure, Gina. But what I really loved about it was he said to me, okay, so here I am the day before of graduation. Graduation, as you know, is 5 minutes. You get 5 minutes in front of a live studio audience. And I posted on Facebook that I'm doing this. I figured no one's going to show up. No, no, no. I had like 20 of my friends on the front fucking row. They took up the whole front row. And I was like, oh, please, can y'all step back a little bit so I can see your ass, you know? But here they are, front row. And so I called this guy and I said, oh my God, what's my thing? You know, that in comedy.
Your shtick.
What the hell's my shtick? And he said the most brilliant thing that I've used now in all my marketing. He said, what's funny about comedy is you double down on who you are. Like, you take the thing and you triple down on it, right? So Chris Farley's the fat, crazy guy. And, you know, Amy Schumer at the time was like fat, single slut. And, you know, like that whole thing, right? Ellen's like just gay. And she's just gay, right? So you just like double down on that, like gay. So I said, well, I looked at him and I go, what the fuck am I? He's like, oh my God, you're like a ball busting blonde, big boob bitch. And I'm like, I am? He's like, yeah. But in that moment, what was so strong for me, and I think people can understand this, he gave me permission to be that. And that part of me I've been trying to put in a box for years because it didn't fit in corporate America. It didn't fit in my family. It didn't fit anywhere. And so all of a sudden, here's this guy going, but that's what makes you brilliant. Like that piece, like triple down on that. So you swear to God, I'll show you the video, Gina. I show up in this pink dress and my hair is like, boom, right? And
close to God. Was it close to God, your hair? The higher the hair, the closer to God.
Yep. And I heels and everything. And I show up and of course, you know, it's all about the lineup. It's all about the lineup, right? Who's going to be first, second, third? So I show up. I'm sweating my ass off. I am nervous. I'm like sweating. And I show up and I said, okay, guys, and my little teammates, okay, guys, you know, who's first? And they go, you are. I go, me? And like in that moment, I knew that freaking person who ran the show, the girl who ran the class, hated me. And she's like really short. She was like to my tits short. Like she came right to my boobs. And I walked like right up to her. I'm like, okay, let's get this shit straight. You don't like me. You don't like me. She's okay. She goes, it's not that I don't like you. I just don't really like you. I was like, you're a bitch. So I was like, fine. So she goes up there, does her stupid thing, which was horrible. And then I go up next. And then I like set the show. But what was fascinating about that day, when I'm sweating my balls off and like, it was funny because it gave me this massive permission, right? It gave me permission to be a blonde, big boob, no kid, not married, vroom girl in Texas. Like it gave me permission. Like it's okay to be that. And that's what was so great about comedy that I use now in influence.
I was just going to say, I think that's so cool. When I heard you tell that story somewhere else and I thought, wow, how amazing. What if you had found that even earlier, but you found it and you owned it and then you tripled down on it for your own business. And now it's something that you talk about in being an influencer. And I think this is a big thing in general, not just in marketing, but for women, women in business, women in sales, women in marketing, about doubling down. Rachel and I started this show based on that concept, Women Your Mother Warned You About, because we wanted to start owning who we are and not having to be apologetic about it. And so it resonated so much to hear you tell that story that I think you referred to that doubling down as one of the pillars of influence.
Yes, art of influence is a pillar of influence. Double down on that piece that you probably want to cover up or whatever. Like it's that unique piece that doesn't look like everybody else. That's the piece that's going to make everything great. And it's very counterintuitive You know what I mean? Especially the world of modeling and business. What I mean by modeling, not like famous modeling, but modeling of business structures and modeling business strategies, where people say, this, do this model and it works for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, for a long time, and I'm just now dealing with this myself. This is something I'm in the middle of still dealing with. For a long time, I wasn't on video and I didn't build my video channel. I've been around just as long as Marie Folio. But the reason I didn't get on camera is I was in my head, like, I don't look as perfect as Marie. I don't look like Marie. I don't have a studio like Marie. And I don't have her hair like Marie. Like, I was trying to be Marie. And I'm not Marie. Yeah. I'm not.
Right.
I ain't. And it took me a long time until just this year that I just now hired a YouTube coach and I'm like doubling down on that, but giving me permission to not look at all like a lot of people, women online. You know, Ally Brown looks perfect all the time. Marie Foley looks perfect all the time. There's a lot of people out there that look perfect all the time.
And well, here's the challenge with the Allies and the Maries. They are coaches who are teaching women how to go out there and be like them. And then it creates this factor of like, but I'm not like them. And I've just spent all this money trying to be like them. And sometimes, I mean, and I love those ladies, but they miss that piece of like, but be who you are. They teach the guru model. Do exactly what I'm telling you to do and you'll be just like me, but you can't do it if you're not them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's a big piece of right now what I'm doing on online marketing. That one, and my coach, by the way, who's really, he's a big time guy on YouTube. I love him because he's a skinny young African American guy. And I love that because he gets it. Like, he's different. You know, and he has to double down on that.
That's a good, that's,
you know, he's not fabulous. An athletic African-American stud. No, he's like a skinny, techie African-American. And he gets what it means to be, take the piece
different
that's unique and double down on that. You know what I mean? He's never going to be a big time basketball player. He's never going to be a stud. He's not going to do push-ups. You know what I mean? And he knows that. So he uses that inside the marketing online. And that's what's made him really successful. And so for me, I'm having to allow myself to do that as well. And I'm allowing myself to cuss. I'm allowing myself to tell the true fucking stories. I'm allowing myself to say, yeah, I'm not fucking married. I have kids. Deal with it. You know, versus, and I'll be honest, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to piss people off. I'm sure if I was on The View right now, I'm sure I'd be pissing off Whoopi Goldberg. But I don't like it. I'm going to make some enemies here. I do not like it when women use their kids to sell shit.
Amen.
I don't like it.
I'm a mom. I'm the only mom of kids on this show right now. And I agree 1,000%.
But
it's unfair to the child unless the child is entrepreneurial enough to start it themselves and they want to do it. That's a different ballgame.
A specific person, Shauna Sumner. Yeah. She uses the baby as a cute thing to get the likes. And I'm like, what happens when the kid's 15 going, screw you, mom? You know what I mean? Like, I don't like it. I have no problem taking pictures with a family. Of course. Like, that makes sense. But because that's your life, that's your personal life. But when they use it as a leveraging point.
Let me ask you this, because I think this is a really kind of interesting topic. I also have no kids. What is your thought, either one of you, on... Is she trying to target that audience of mom with young kids?
Yeah. I think,
you know,
so
you're not her audience. I'm not her audience.
No.
And we may get the hate letters. We don't care. That's fine. Everyone's got their own audience.
I think so too. I just think from a strategic perspective, it's not a good long-term strategy if I was her strategist, because the kids grow up and...
Right.
You know,
and to your point, if I were that kid growing up, I probably would be like, what the fuck was that? Like, who gave you the right to put me in?
Let's look at politics for a second. Most of the politicians say my kids stay out of it. Smart. Because then the kids aren't tied to you as your brand. You have your business and you have your family time. You know, the Obamas did that very well. I rarely saw the girls. I mean, I really rare. They did a great job of like letting them have their own life. Same thing with Trump and the young one, Barron, I think. Like, I don't see him online, you know? I mean, maybe I look for him, but I don't see him like in the face of that. they keep it separate, and it's smart. It's smart business over time, especially when you're doing any kind of influence or any kind of branding or any kind of messaging. Grant Cardone, he shows his kids, but he doesn't use his kids. You know, there's a lot of other people out there that have kids. I mean, Frank Kern, he's got kids. Every now and then he throws his kids out, but he doesn't use it. You know, he's who his knowledge is. His knowledge is X, and this is what he does. And, like, if you like that, and he's got his own brand and you know, the thing, his target market. But I think when you tie in, unless you're literally saying, I help mompreneurs, which is a target market, but that's not what I thought. I don't think Shauna is doing. And I'm, I apologize to her specifically, just her brain, her, she's popping into my head.
I think there's also, like you said, it's great. And I, my kid is sometimes on my social media, but I definitely wouldn't pull her in. And it's just, I utilize her to, for like a realness factor of like, I'm a mom, I have kids, but I would never think to use her in my marketing just for number one, for the reasons that you stated, Heather, but number two, just from, if the goal is world domination as an influencer, then I kind of don't want my kid brought into it for safety reasons too.
I agree.
And that's like some parents that are like, I kind of don't want the haters to start. If there's haters, I want them to focus on me. Right. Focus on me.
Right.
Because I'm here to tell you as a mom that if someone goes after my kid, I go after them with all I've got.
Well, tell me if I'm wrong. I'm wrong, and this is not to you, but in generalized speaking, okay, and you're not doing this, but I think, and I'm predicating here, I think that women do that with the kid thing as a way to prove their value. Men never do that. You never, man's married, not married, screwing six wives. I mean, he just, this is who he is and what he does. He doesn't usually bring in the wife unless it's really part of the business, unless it's strategic. Like Grant Cardone's just now doing that. Garrett White's just now doing, you know? Right. So, but that they've been married 10, 20, 30 years. It's very different. They started the business now. I think that at some level, because the kid thing, women think that that's part of their value versus like who they are and their content and their expertise is valuable.
Right. And one thing that does happen, and it's a hard thing for moms when you have a child, and I'm super entrepreneurial and independent anyway, so it didn't really happen to me. But when you, when this child comes into the world, your maternal instinct is to make this child the most important things, to care for them because they need you to care for them. Right.
Right.
Moms sometimes tend to disappear and forget their own needs. And then suddenly they become miserable and they go in, and I'm not speaking on postpartum depression because that's a whole nother topic, but I'm talking about women losing themselves and forgetting that they and their goals are still important. Their trajectory of life is still important of what they want to do with themselves and not just only to be a mom, unless they just want to be a mom and that's great also. But when we're talking about marketing online and utilizing the kids to like sell some shit, they sometimes feel like that is validating them, I think. I mean, you know, we might be totally off the mark, but I've seen moms that do that. And I think they have to recall that they were somebody before they had a kid and they still are that somebody. And they still know the goal of a good mom, in my opinion, is to teach that kid to fly out of the nest as soon as possible and be independent and not depend on you. So if you're like making your kid part of your own thing, then you're causing them to stay in the nest for as long as you can possibly keep them there. And that's not fair to the kid and their own trajectory.
Well, going back to what Heather had said about the whole value piece of it. And again, we're making assumptions here. So for anyone listening that is going to be offended, sorry, not sorry. You know, is there a...
You're warned.
I don't know because I'm not a mom. So we're going to have to keep going back to Rachel. I can only imagine if I were a mom and trying to keep my business going. And now I'm trying to be a good mom and I'm trying to balance my business. And is there some possible guilt involved there that I'm like, well, I'm going to bring my kid along with. So just in case I like drop the ball or just in case I don't seem as relevant, it'll be like, here, I'm a mom and an entrepreneur and I'm juggling. And I'm making total assumptions. So
I really think here's the what's happening there. That men don't necessarily deal with, which is the identity. right? So men look at their identity usually connected to their work. And they're trained to do that at a very young age, okay? That's why there's a thing called MRS degree. Men don't think I'm here to get an MRS degree at college. They're here for whatever their goals are. No, by the way, yeah, I want a wife and kids and family. And so it's an identity crisis. Like you just said, they focus on the kids so much, they lose the identity. And so they feel they have to connect the piece of the mother, which is not necessarily the case. If they put the identity of who they are as themselves and the content or the knowledge or whatever they're selling, the business person, then the sidebar of having married, not married, divorce, whatever, kid, not kid would go away. I know I've had to deal with this. I mean, 2 years ago, I went through a massive divorce / breakup. We weren't technically married. We were engaged, but we had a business together. And I had an identity crisis. I mean, I was on a trajectory. We had two businesses together. We were engaged. We were looking at babies. At one point, I thought I was pregnant. Like, it was on a trajectory, dude. You know what I mean? And then when everything broke away and I lost all my friends, I lost the business, I lost him, I lost the future, I was like, who the fuck am I? Who am I?
Yeah. Yeah.
Without the potential husband and the potential kids and this business, like, who am I? And it's taking me 2 years and a ton of work to go, I'm me with or without a guy, with or without a kid, with or without a particular kind of business. I'm just me. This is me. This is all of me. And I'm going to be great by myself. And so me putting myself out there, it took me a long time to be able to put myself out there and going, this is me. And I'm still valuable as a woman without a kid. I'm still valuable as a woman without a husband. I'm still valuable just because I'm not in a relationship. I'm still valuable because society tells me you need to be in this to get value. Mm-hmm. And it's society who says that. It's taken me a long time to be able to be like, no, this is me. And even if I got married today and had a kid tomorrow, I don't know, you know, I probably wouldn't even post it. I'd be very, very, very careful on that. Not because it's not valuable. It's just that it's not my value.
It's not how you define yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm here to tell you, if you have a kid in a day, then you better post that shit because that's epic.
Hey, Warners, you have probably heard me talk on several occasions about how much I love wearing red lipstick. Lipstick is just one of those things that makes me feel good about how I look. And sometimes a little extra enhancement to my lips from Dermavogue doesn't hurt either. I've known Dr. Jim Turek of Dermavogue for years. He is not only my doctor who keeps my body healthy, he and his Dermavogue team keep my face looking healthy. And maybe a little younger, maybe. I mean, I love it when people say, something looks different about your face. But they can't really tell because that's really what you want. You want to go to a place that makes your face look as good and it makes people wonder what happened. So what's really cool about Dermavogue being our premier sponsor of this show is the fact that I'm a client and I was a client before they became a partner of the show. So we're excited about that. Dermavogue has been offering the greater Myrtle Beach area the best in cosmetic and aesthetic dermatology since 2003. Opened by Dr. James Turek, Dermavogue combines expert medical knowledge with cutting-edge technology, bringing you the most effective, flawless solutions to any skincare or cosmetic need. Their patients enjoy only the absolute best in laser technology, including photodynamic laser therapy, hydrofacials, and V-beam laser treatments, as well as the latest fillers such as Botox, skin peels, facials, and more. At Dermavogue, they engage you in the process of total body health to ensure your satisfaction with their comprehensive selection of the most up-to-date, non-invasive cosmetic, dermatology, and spa treatments. It's human nature to want to look your best, right? Let Dermavogue help you get there. Schedule your consultation today by calling 843-357-2444 or visit dermavogue.com and tell them that the Women Your Mother Warned You About sent you. You can also find them on our website. Go check it out.
I want to go back to what you said earlier about, you know, when your comedy coach gave you that permission to be who you are, because it's really fast. It's really fascinating. I use that word because I was made me think about Sally Hogshead's book, called Fascinate.
Yes.
Where she talks about that time. There's a time in our lives, like when we're younger, and we realize that we're supposed to hide that part of ourselves, that who we really, really are. And then in her book, she talks about rediscovering exactly who you are. And when I did the, I forget what she calls the, you know, different personality types. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I did the little test that she has, mine was rock star. And I was like, it was exactly the same feeling which you described from your comedy coach. I was like, oh my God, all my life I felt a little bit bad about the fact that I'm a fucking rock star, pretty much whatever I do. And that's just who I am. And then when it was confirmed that that's actually what you are, you're the rock star, that's your personality type, I was like, oh, good. Then I can go out and be that. Thank God. I wish I hadn't wasted so many years of trying to put that in that box you were talking about, Heather. It's, you know, and so I think that's what everybody should do, mom or not, you know, go back to that. Think, pick up her book. I'll put we'll put the link in the show notes, and like go back to that part of you, or find somebody to help you find that part of you, that who you really, really are, not who your mom said you should be, not who society should be, not who, you know, your husband that you're divorced from, or the second one, or whatever. Third. Yeah, I'm on my third marriage. We've got never married. We've got married three times, and we've got Gina married once. We got it all here. When your mother warned you about
it. But I've never been engaged three times. I've only been.
I've been engaged got it three all. Times. I feel like I'm a runaway bride, but that's enough.
But I think it's so crucial, and you can read all the success books, and they'll all come back to be more of who you are, and included in your pillars of influence that you mentioned, Heather. Like, double down on that.
That was a big one. So I'm going to, that book I haven't read. I've read about it, and I've read about her, but I'm going to take it to the next level, which is a book by Todd Herman, Alter Ego.
Ooh, that's a good one too.
So I'll tell you about that story. This is actually this last Traffic and Conversion Summit in San Diego in 2019. And I've been around a long time. It takes a lot for me to be excited about something or someone, especially in the guru space. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, eh, I don't know. I just have this like, whatever. So it takes a lot for someone to be like, whoa, dude, that's badass. You know, it takes a lot. So I'm walking around Traffic Conversion, and they had this like stage. It wasn't really it wasn't really in a room. It was kind of in the middle of the trade floor. And I just kind of walking by stop. And I'm listening to this guy, Tom Herman's talking, and I literally ran. I was like, where's his book now? And like people everywhere. And I ran, I'm looking for his booth or whatever. And I found it, and I'm like the first one there. And I wait like a crazy person for 20 minutes until he gets there. And I'm the first one in line to get the book and have him sign, do the whole picture thing. And then I end up being interviewed. And then I was on the local news in San Diego, my face and everything, talking about Todd Herman, which is so weird. But this is what was so beautiful about the book. Another way to say it, because he does psychology with athletes and like celebrities, is that he talks about specifically, I love this story analogy of a football player. And then when the football player puts on the uniform, right, and then steps onto the field, like that moment he steps onto the field, he becomes another person. That the dad, the guy's going through a crazy divorce or some weird lawsuit, or maybe he had like, you know, a bad night last night with drinking, I don't know, whatever he's got going, it disappears, and this alter ego shows up, and a performance happens, and who he is as that player, what actually has that happen. And so how we as society, we think we should be the same person at home versus work versus in a relationship versus at the grocery store, we should be the same person. He's like, no. He's like, who I am at my office is this particular person. And then when I walk in the door at home with there's three kids, he becomes a father, which is a totally different conversation. He's not the same person, and it's okay. And he talks about using structures. So for him, when he's at the office, he literally has these really cool black framed glasses that he doesn't really have any prescription, but when he puts them on, it's his uniform, right? And for me, this outfit, like this jacket, this is a uniform for me. If you ever see me, I'm pretty much wearing the same thing. Like the hoops, it's a uniform for me because it allows me to step into something, right? versus me about to go to yoga in a couple hours. It's like I'm a different person. So it's not bad or wrong, but we're taught, I think, to be authentic all the time, to be the same person. And I'm like, bullshit. Like, who I am in bed with a guy versus who I am right now versus who I am in the at the dance club on Thursday night. Different kind of person.
Okay. I need to ask this question of her, Rachel. You know what I'm going to ask, because we're almost at an hour.
Oh, sorry.
So that's okay. We're going to have to wrap up soon. But now that you're talking about this whole alter ego thing, this is something I can't speak for Rachel. I know I've struggled with on the, and especially as a performer, right? Who I am on stage at my theater versus who I am as a speaker versus who I am as a trainer versus who I am as a podcaster versus who I am as a friend versus who I am as a wife. Like, I'm still at the core the same person.
Right.
But there are different ways that I want to be able to show up and not have it impact me or affect me too much, such as I just did this boudoir shoot. And I have these photos, and what do you do with them? I mean, I'm not going to post all the naked, well, they're not naked, but how do you still like continue to grow in staying truly authentic in who you are and not be afraid of what's going to happen?
I just did a Bridgewater shoot too. It's been about 2 months, and I posted a lot of my stuff.
And that's why I asked, because you are provocative. I was like, I love her. She just shows, she's who she is.
I am. I had to let go of a couple things. One, the moment I started doing that, I had to realize I probably was never going to be invited to like a big corporate event. I got to let that go pretty fast. But at the same time, I always think, well, Kim Kardashian, she started with a sex tape. So, hey.
Good point.
Good point. Let's
good point.
Good point. Megyn Kelly's sex got sells. Some very sexy photos of her. Okay. Online too, Megyn Kelly. There's I think a society thing, Madonna and Whore syndrome. Men can be sexy and vivacious and confident and charismatic, and we think it's smoking hot. It can be a George Clooney and he can show up a shirt, you know. And we still love him. We could think he's a businessman, but women can't do that. That's the underlying stuff. And so I think it's also, but you have to also think strategically, right? Strategically from a perspective of, is it going to move the needle for your business? There's a part of me sometimes that wants to post more of who I am. And then another part of me that's like, let's be strategic about it.
So, yeah.
But I do post a lot. Like if you notice a lot of my, I don't know if you notice this, but I have kind of a new outfit as I call it. So it's really this, it's leather. And I wear leather pants with these stilettos. And now I wear that to any kind of conference I go to. I wear like my outfit, and that sounds kind of odd, but it doesn't, because you become, it's like an outfit. Yeah. It's like a, it's literally like a uniform for me. And so people position me is that way. And like, this is who you are. I have these really badass cowboy boots. I wear leather pants and the cowboy boots. And then people know, I know who you are. You know,
yeah. They recognize that. Look.
But it's literally cowboy boots and leather, like sexy leather pants. You know, it took me years. I could have never done that 3 years ago. Are you kidding me? I would have been like prim and proper, you know, and now I'm like, fuck it. So I have a picture out. I know I put it out there elsewhere, but it's on my birthday invitation just happened. Birthday just happened 2 weeks ago. And my birthday invitation is me in this, I think I'm in this jacket and leather pants, and I'm literally flipping off people.
Yes, I
see. You see it like,
yes.
Right? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, people are going to hate me. And they loved it. They're like, and my 45 people showed my birthday and they're like, you're amazing. But because that's really me. Because the photographer said, okay, loosen the fuck up. Will you do something that you really feel like right now? And I was like, ah! And he took the shot. Oh, he's like, that's great.
That reminds me of Rachel on her wedding day.
Like flipping off the camera. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
I have a picture of Rachel flipping me off on her wedding day.
Oh, see, that's precious.
Yep,
in her wedding shot. Dress.
I have the professional version of that too.
That's
good.
That's awesome.
So I hope that helped. Like,
yeah, that's great, because I think that's an important thing that a lot of women are struggling with in being who they are. But again, when we think about the alter ego piece of it, it's okay to be the different parts of you at the different times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to be able to be, for me, I'm allowing myself to be more vavoom, as I call it. That's what I call it. Vavoom in business settings. I'm allowing myself to be more vavoom and wearing kind of not provocative, but just strong outfits and not look like I just got out of a lawyer job, you know, or something. Yeah. So I'm allowing myself to be that. And it's taken time because when I walk into a room or something, I don't look like everybody else. I don't sound like everybody else. And the more vavoom I am, it frees me up. I kind of feel like I'm a, you know, an animal out of a cage, but it also, I think it frees up other people too. I think it gives them permission to be themselves as well.
That's a really good point because you're leading.
Yeah.
You're actually leading people into being, you're inspiring people to be who they are because they see you being who you are.
I've had people tell me that, like, since meeting you, I now like changed what I wear, not because I'm so fashion police, hell no, but the fact that I'm just kind of vavoom, that gives them this kind of permission to be vavoom themselves in their own way. And especially in kind of an everyday kind of environment versus like a performance, like an everyday kind of way, you know, just being able to be vavoom and yourself, whatever that is for you, right?
Well, one of the things, this is kind of last thing I have for you. One of the things that you also said is stop being an expert.
Yeah.
Being an influencer versus an expert. Could you talk about that for a little bit?
Absolutely. So I kind of, you know, started in this business back in 2001 where it was hounded that you're an expert, you're an expert, you're an expert. Read 10 books, you're an expert. And when you're an expert, people want to work with you. That's an old fused thinking. It's Jim Rohn, being expertise. It was kind of ingrained in the 70s and 80s and 90s. We're in a different phase. We're in a totally different revolutionary phase. We're in the 21st century where you can Google anything and then expertise is no longer really valued because it goes back to value in the marketplace. Why? So before the internet, let's say the big time internet, you know, the 90s or 80s, to get expertise information, you like go to the library and like do the little cards. I mean, it took something, right, to find shit. And now it's like, oh, I need a lawyer kind of contract, right? Like, we don't need the expertise as much. Now, we need them because don't do that, you know, because it's stupid. Don't be your own lawyer. But it's just that our value is what the value in the marketplace has altered. Does that make sense? So, okay, let's go back to it real quick. Kim Kardashian, people are like, oh, I can't say what the hell she done. Well, she did a sex tape, but what's the value in the marketplace that she's a multimillionaire because we as a people, the marketplace has put value on her. Why? Well, because we see her as an influencer, like it or not, makes no sense or not. We see her as an influence of a particular kind of viewpoint and a particular kind of lifestyle. And so people follow that. They follow with clicks and likes and buying her shit. Okay. So today, we now value influence. We don't value expertise. Oprah is an influencer. She even says it, like, I am not expertise in spirituality. I am a student. I surround myself and I interview, you know, Brene Brown and Eckhart Tolle and Maureen Williamson. I'm just a student. But who's more wealthy, Maureen Williamson or freaking Oprah? Hello? So Oprah, the expertise is not as influential as we think because they have to stay in their own lane versus an influencer of a particular voice, a particular message can be able to move at a different speed with the marketplace. So that's what I mean by that. Now we're going to have our knowledge. Like I'm an expert and I'm an authority in marketing, online marketing, and I can talk about it and I can strategize and I can do it. I built multiple bits online. I am an expert. But the positioning of that is different. I position myself as an authority, as an influencer in a particular field, right? So I always think of Gordon Ramsay. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's become an influencer in his world as a chef. Now, he's damn good, right, obviously. But there's probably other people out there that think they're better than Gordon Ramsay.
Right. You know?
But he's an influencer. He puts his name on something and is like, ta-da. That's, he influences an industry. So I tell people, pick an industry. It could be lawyer, accountant, you know, restaurant business. Become an influencer in that industry and you will have more power. Become an expert in that industry. It's like, then you become the know-it-all.
Mm, that's powerful.
Does that make sense?
That is, yeah, totally. That is awesome. Oh. Well, that's probably my probably my favorite thing so far. I wish we could talk to you forever. And ever.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And thanks for allowing me to explain that. Because it takes time to people to get the value. What the marketplace values today is different than it was 20 years ago.
I think that's a huge nugget. I think that's a huge takeaway. I love it.
There's and a ton of takeaways in this episode for sure.
I still want to do the Three Black Sheep show.
Yeah. That would be a whole nother day. But in the meantime, Heather, tell all our Warners where they can find you and how they connect with you.
Influencertribe.com. They go there. They can be basically apply to come to my free exclusive tribe that we focus. They're entrepreneurs, the creators, and other influencers looking to rise the bar and just kind of really create a community. So I create this community for entrepreneurs and influencers and creators to come together and really talk. It's free, but go to influencertribe.com and it'll take you there.
Thanks to all our Warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. To learn more about us, visit our website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. You can also connect with me directly at ginatremarco.com to learn more about Pivot 10 Results, Carolina Improv, or to book me as a speaker or a trainer. And Rachel?
Well, to connect with me, Rachel Pitts, you can find me all over social media as Rachel on Real Estate or at rachelonrealestate.com. You can also find all of our social media links and free downloads on our website at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Also on our website is a link to iTunes where you can leave us a rating and a review in case we didn't mention it earlier, but we may have. Warners, keep on keeping it sexy, and remember, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant.
And a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.